Blessed
are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed
are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Blessed
are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Today, tomorrow, and forever media. Using today's technology to journey through history and bring you the good news from every age.
Blessed
are the merciful.
Hello, this is Carol Monaco reporting live for Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media. Today, May 1st, 1869, I'm on location at St. Charles Seminary and College in Baltimore, Maryland, with Father Ernest Liliev. We are here to bring you another episode of Mission Improbable. Today, we'll be talking about the Little Sisters' newest foundation in the First Diocese and Premier See of the Catholic Church in the United States. Father Ernest, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today.
It's my pleasure, Carol. I'm happy to be here.
Can you begin by telling us why you decided to make the congregation's fourth foundation here in Baltimore?
Sure. On my first trip around the country last summer, Providence arranged that I make an unplanned stop in Baltimore. I intended to go straight from New Orleans to New York to prepare for the foundation there. But Father Jean-Baptiste Reculon, a French priest, a good friend of mine, had been in New Orleans to preach a Lenten mission, and he asked me to accompany him to Baltimore on the train because he doesn't speak English and was unfamiliar with the terrain. When we arrived, we were well received by the Sulpician priest here at St. Charles Seminary. I even discovered among the Sulpicians the brother of a little sister. This unexpected detour was quite fortuitous because I also met the Vicar General, who introduced me to Archbishop Martin Jean Spalding. The Archbishop explained to me that a wealthy citizen of Baltimore, a Mrs. Burke, had passed away in 1848, leaving a legacy intended for the care of poor widows. A small house was purchased for this purpose on Mulberry Street, and several elderly women had been living there with the assistance of a small band of Catholic women. The Archbishop proposed that the Little Sisters take over the good work, and so the legacy was used to purchase a plot of land on Valley Street, where a larger home for the elderly could be constructed. I was amazed at the Archbishop's generous offer. I knew that the finger of God was in it.
Have the Little Sisters already arrived?
Oh, five Little Sisters arrived in Baltimore on April 6th to begin the Fondation. The Visitation Sisters offered them hospitality for the first few days, and then they moved to a temporary house on Calvert Street, where they have already welcomed seven old women. The Visitation Sisters told their students about the Little Sisters. The news spread, and the entire city was set in motion. Many people from the neighborhood sent the servants with meals already prepared for the Little Sisters. And I celebrated a mass at the house on Calvert Street in the presence of a good number of potential benefactors to introduce them for the work.
How are things going?
Ooh, the Little Sisters are doing fine. They have enjoyed tremendous support from the people of Baltimore. I've found a spirit of faith among the Catholics here that I have never encountered elsewhere.
Why do you feel that Baltimore is an important place for the sisters to have a home?
As the first diocese and the seat of the Catholic Church in America, I consider Baltimore a more advantageous location for a home of the Little Sisters of the Poor. This house will serve as a link between the houses we hope to establish in the north and those we foresee for the south.
I recently heard Archbishop Spalding speaking about the Little Sisters, and he made the following prediction. The Little Sisters of the Poor are called to do a great deal of good in America, not only among the poor, but also among the rich, for words no longer suffice. Works are necessary. I think the good that the sisters will do among the poor is obvious. But what do you think he meant by doing a great deal of good among the rich? And what did he mean that words no longer suffice, but works are necessary?
Oh, merci. Thank you. Those are excellent questions. I'll begin with the first one. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read that Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." From Jesus' words, we can understand that there is a blessing to be gained by the giving of oneself or one's goods to others. St. John of God, the founder of the Hospitaller community in Spain, used to say something very similar. As he walked through the streets of Granada, begging alms for the poor, he would call out, "Do good to yourselves, brothers. Give to the poor." And St. Francis, perhaps the Church's greatest saint, wrote in his famous prayer, "It is in giving that we receive."
I think I understand. It's like what St. John Paul II wrote about the theology of the body when he referred to the law of the gift. He often wrote that as human beings, we can only fulfill ourselves through the generous gift of ourselves to others, by giving ourselves away. Is that what you mean?
I can't say that I am familiar with the writings of Jean Paul II, but yes, that's it. The Little Sisters can awaken in the rich a greater awareness of their Christian duty to share with the less fortunate, but they will also enable them to experience the joy and the graces associated with giving to the poor. Now, for your second question, I think what Archbishop Spalding meant when he said works no longer suffice was the same thing St. Francis meant when he said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." Have you ever heard that quote from St. Francis? Your great nation has passed through a period when much blood was spilled, but during your nation's civil war and the know-nothings period that preceded, much ink was spilled as well. Words can be employed to lift men up or to tear them down. Works inspired by the gospel can open hearts, but sometimes they fall on deaf ears. For those whose ears are not prepared to hear the gospel, the beauty of acts of Christian charity may be able to reach and soften their heart. You may have noticed that the Little Sisters of the Poor are women of few words. Their vocation is not one of speaking, but of doing. They try to convey God's love to those they serve, and they do that primarily through their acts of loving, humble service to the elderly. Archbishop Spalding has written many books and articles, and he is known all over the country for his eloquent defense of the Catholic faith. The Little Sisters will never be well known in this way, but through their quiet acts of charity, the Archbishop believes they can be convincing witnesses of God's merciful love for all men and women created in his image.
Thank you, Father. I never thought of it like that. You spoke of all men and women created in God's image, Do the little sisters care for just Catholics or for all men and women?
The sisters wish to serve the elderly regardless of their race or religion. They do not discriminate. You see, for us Catholics, there is a unity of spirit that knows no north nor south, no east or west. Christ came to save all people, and his church is universal. If you spend time in the homes we have already established here in the United States, you will notice that one of their distinctive characteristics is the remarkable mixture of creeds, occupations, and nationalities of the various people who inhabit them. The reflection of the population of the country is seen there, a population composed of a great number of immigrants from all countries of the world who came to seek fortune on this new soil. It is really remarkable and quite touching. I was deeply moved to read the words of President Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. These are profound words, don't you think? I would like to think that in their own humble way, the little sisters of the poor who have come to Baltimore, as well as those in all the other American cities where I hope they will settle, will play their part in binding up the nation's wounds by caring for those who have borne the battle, for the thousands of widows in our midst, and for the immigrants who have come here and helped to make this country great, but who find themselves with nothing in their old age.
Father Ernest, thank you so much for spending your time with us today. You've given us so much to think about. Wrapping it up now in Baltimore, I am Carol Monaco, reporting for Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media's Mission Improbable podcast, and challenging you to go out and proclaim the gospel with your lives.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, children of the heavenly King.
Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media, using today's technology to journey through history and bring you the good news from every age.
To get my reward. Oh.